Our first reading from the prophet Amos. The Lord, speaking through Amos, first names several of the sins of the people, sins against the poor. And then, at the very end of that reading, he says, "The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, never will I forget a thing they have done." Now that sounds pretty dramatic and scary, and it would be if it were me speaking that, or you speaking that. We have to remember, this is God speaking this, and he speaks very differently from me and from you. He's a God of justice, where he's no God at all. And justice isn't in the first place about punishment. In the first place, justice is about making things right. Making what is unjust, just. He remembers everything because he intends to make everything right. Every injustice will be made right. And the place where he makes things right is on the cross. On the cross, Jesus remembered everything that we have ever done so that he could nail it to that tree. Do you let him nail your vices to the tree of the cross? In our second reading, St. Paul gives some practical instruction. He says, "I ask that supplications and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings and for all in authority." So how often do you pray for our politicians? And we don't have to make that into a punchline. Seriously, to pray for them. I remember one of my brothers recounting a conversation he had with another who was very opposed a particular politician at that time. And my brother asked him, do you want him to fail? Do you want him to fail? Is that what you mean? And the follow-up question should really be, don't you want him to be converted? If there is need of real conversion? That's the prayer, right? For all of us, including for those in authority. Notice this, beautiful, the reason why St. Paul wants us to pray for our politicians, so that, he says, so that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. If we get moments of quiet and tranquility in our life, do we use those moments to grow in devotion and dignity? Do we take those moments to help others, including our family, to grow in devotion and dignity? What kind of devotion do you have at home? Have you taken advantage yet, this Jubilee year, there's still a few months left, to make a pilgrimage to one of the five pilgrimage sites in our diocese? St. Paul is challenging me, all of us, to ask the question, what have I done this past week to foster devotion in my faith and in our relationships? You know, common devotions include the rosary, divine mercy chapel, reading the Bible, of course, other spiritual reading, listening to Catholic podcasts, watching a Christian movie, praying the liturgy of the hours, very importantly, simply being quietly and lovingly attentive to the Lord's presence with and in you. Are we growing in devotion and dignity? And don't ever forget those next words of St. Paul. He says, "This is good and pleasing to God, our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." We have to be reminded sometimes. We have to remind ourselves over and over again, God desires your salvation. He's for you. And he wants you to grow in knowledge of his truth. Knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is the truth. At the end of our second reading, Paul says, "It is my wish then that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument." I think he's taking for granted that women are praying. So ladies, don't let him down. Fulfill that, right? Paul knows that all of us, but men maybe in particular, can get angry easily, frustrated easily, can argue easily. He teaches us, rather than lifting up hands in anger to strike another person, we need to lift our hands up with open palms in prayer to God of peace, the God of justice. He's the God of justice, not me. When we get angry, we overcome that anger by turning to God in prayer. And this is the thing. Do we turn to him first? Does he have our first fruits? Do we give him the first fruits of our hearts in those moments of desire or temptation or whatever it might be? In the gospel, the Lord calls us the children of light. Got a beautiful title there. Embrace it. Own it. Children of light. You're a child of the light. Light with a capital L. And as children of light, we must be more prudent than the dishonest steward. We must be more zealous for light, for virtue, for prayer. And the Lord gives an interesting command to us children of light. He says, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth. Make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Notice he doesn't say, make dishonest wealth. And by dishonest wealth, I think he's referring to anything in this world that we can't take with us. The Lord is giving us a call to conversion. We've all accumulated dishonest wealth that we can't take with us. Jesus calls us now to use it to make friends by giving it away. Now, I'll be your friend regardless. But I'm happy to receive on behalf of the church and tithe as well. It's an important question. Am I using my wealth on myself or making friends among the poor and the needy who will then welcome me into eternal dwellings? How trustworthy of true or heavenly wealth would the Lord judge us to be? And I think the currency of true wealth is love. When we talk about relationships, right? Friends, family, spouses. How rich am I in that currency? That's the currency I want to build up for heaven. How loving am I to my brothers and sisters in need? I'm more loving to myself than to those around me. Can I get out of my own head, my own preoccupations and worries, to see the faces of those around me? It's a great way to get out of worry, to look up and see others. Do I love my earthly stuff more than I love the human beings that God puts in my path? Here's the homework for the week. Be devout this week in your prayer and your relationships, begging the Lord for his grace to grow in the true and heavenly wealth of that relational love.